comes the bride with a knife that's 1 inch wide. Where is the groom dead in the dressing room?
Stabbed in the heart because death do us part.
Hello and welcome to Death Do Us Part. I'm Laura.
And I'm Jeremy.
And I quit my job.
What a way to lead off.
And not to podcast full time, because unfortunately I'm still too poor for that.
Yeah, that would be great. That would be great news. Turn this to daily.
Just if I could make money off of it, or if I had, like, if I won the lottery for getting a COVID vaccine that they have.
Oh, yeah.
I probably wouldn't quit my job, though. I think I'd go on, like, a really expensive vacation and not tell anybody I won it and then still go to work.
Somehow, I think people always seem to find out, though. And they all come out of the woodwork.
I think they put you usually, at least if it's like a lottery, I don't know about the COVID lottery, but you have to like fill out paperwork and you're like on a list and they announce who the winner is. So then like people hear about it. You're on the news and stuff.
I think with the COVID lottery, you have to give them permission. And they want you to, because they want to be like, hey, we actually gave this money away, like we said. But I would be like, nope. No one's gonna know. I'm gonna bank that.
So I could have won it already, and you don't even know.
You wouldn't even tell me.
No, I'd tell no one.
You wouldn't even buy me a Death to Us Part backpack that we now have available on Redbubble. I mean, you wouldn't even buy me that.
I would buy you that and a pair of Death to Us Part socks that are also available, because the socks are my favorite. The
socks are legit. So, for those interested, we now have a whole bunch of shit with our logo on it on Redbubble, mostly because we want to buy it. But you can buy it, too.
And if you go to our Instagram, in our bio, you can find the link.
Yeah, click on our link tree in our bio, because we want to sound official, even though we are not. And you'll find our merchandise link at the top of our link tree.
Yeah, so my personal faves are the socks. Also a really big fan of the travel mug, but I just fucking love travel mugs and mugs in general, so I might be a little biased.
I have way too many mugs. Just too many.
The socks are really dope. I'm pretty happy about that.
I like them. I expect some for my birthday from you, because I think that'd be hilarious. And I just opened it up, and there's a pair of our branded socks. It's like, oh, cool. Thanks a lot.
How mad would you be if all of your birthday presents were just like our stuff? Like a full outfit, a shirt, a backpack, a sweatshirt, socks.
Honestly, not that mad, because that shit's expensive, so I wouldn't be that mad.
I know,
mad.
You'd be like, wow, you went way over budget to buy. Anyways, I'm part of, I guess, for quitting work, I'm part of the Great Resignation is what they're calling it. So it's like the Great Depression, but it's the Great Resignation. And apparently in just this last April alone, a record 4 million people have quit their jobs because people are leaving their jobs to search for more flexibility and more happiness. Basically, going through a pandemic has made people, I think, realize what's important, and it's not spending all of your life on a computer working. It's hanging out with your fam and, you know, going places and not being able to travel for a whole year, I think, has made traveling a priority and all of that. So
yeah, I think for a lot of people,
quitting their shit jobs to get different ones.
During that whole year, all they had was work, because you had to keep working. And some people who couldn't work had to go find jobs they didn't like, or hold on to jobs they didn't like. And now it's like, oh, there's opportunities again. There's more employment. And I just spent a whole year dedicated just to work, and that sucked balls. So now I need to find that flexibility, because you got to have that balance.
I think you also, like, schools were closed, kids were home. You couldn't send your kids to, like, a daycare. You couldn't, like, have a babysitter, really, or, like, unless it was a family member. So it was, like, you at home with your kids who were trying to do at-home school. And I think that also, like, one of the things that, like, people learned is, like, maybe their job wasn't that flexible. And, like, you know, you kind of, like, saw, I think, below, like, the whole, or underneath kind of like the persona that people put on for the office, if you only have to be at the office for 8 hours a day or whatever, when you're home and your kids are screaming in the background and your dog or your cat's like putting their butthole on your camera during a Zoom meeting, like, I think people got a lot more real in this last year and a half. And sometimes when that happens, you don't like what you see. And so
was that a dog, cat, or a child that was putting its butthole on your camera? Because it could have been any of the three.
It was definitely a cat. Normally my kids would just pop in and you'd see like the top of a head because they're too short. And then my hand pushing it down.
We have a couple cat owners in our group at my job, and they were talking about how they love to make appearances whenever you're on video, but they never come around when you're not on video, and they always like to show their rear end with their tail up as they're walking away.
It's 100% the truth.
And I was like,
I will be sleeping and like I'll answer a Zoom call and it's like they hear the doodly-loo noise and like wake up and then come over.
It's like, oh, it's ridiculous. Gonna go fuck with your day. And that reminded me when I got you those cat butt magnets. The refrigerator
magnets.
I still
have those.
And I was telling them about it and they all thought it was a really cool idea. So if I get any of them for Secret Santa, cat butt magnets coming their way.
So that's my pet peeve this week, is having a shitty job. But it's not really my pet peeve, because also they were kind of like, hey, you guys, we're going to open the office and people have to come back in the office. And I was like, no, no, no. And then I just quit instead of going back into an office.
You're definitely part of the great resignation then.
Yeah. I was like, oh, I'm sorry. You want me to be in person? I'll find a new job.
You want me to appear and put pants on? Not my thing anymore. Spend a year without pants? Totally digging it.
Right.
Well, I get my pet peeve, or not really my pet peeve, but any job change is stressful, even a good one. Like in your instance where you're going to somewhere, hopefully you'll like it better, but it's a lot more opportunity. You know, you're advancing in your career. You're making better strides. There's still a lot of stress that goes with it, because you're going to start a new job, you're getting a bunch of new stuff. You have to set it all up, go through trainings. You know, it's a period of stress. Even if it's good things happening, it's still added stress, which we know can, you know, put a strain or take a heavy toll on a relationship. But for me,
that's true.
I'll never forget. Over 5 years ago, before I came to my current company, and I'm no longer in the job in which I came to this company. I've moved around some. But when I accepted and I left my job, my 2 weeks, I took you know, 2 weeks, and I had like a week off in between. And I think it was Thanksgiving weekend, I got a call saying they wanted to push my start date back. And I was like, that's fine, but I need to start my benefits at the same time, because I planned out, you know, kids' doctor's appointments and stuff. And they said, okay, well, we'll talk to HR and see what we can do. They came back and said, we want to take the job offer back. And I
remember that.
Yeah. And it was like one of the most stressful things, because I'm like, I just left a perfectly good job because you guys gave me a better opportunity. I could have just stayed at that perfectly good job and been fine. But now I'm fucked. And I pushed back on them. Because I'm like, this is probably not legal. I don't know that they can do it. Even if you're an at-will employee like we are here in California, I don't think you can just renege on a job for no reason, right? You got to have a reason.
Right. What was the reason?
They never told me.
Did they tell you?
They never
told
me.
That's so weird.
I think the hiring manager, when I said, can we just keep my start date the same, was like, this is just too much work and I haven't got his equipment. I'll just find somebody else when I'm ready. I think that's what was her mentality. Which is just ridiculous, because people change their lives for their jobs.
Right.
Like I made big life choices and decisions to make this job change. And I think they came back and somebody, it got escalated into HR when I pushed back, and they're like, whoa, can't do this. So I ended up getting a paid week off with my benefits before I actually started that job, because...
Which is amazing. But then at the same time, like, you were like, do I even want this job, where they like don't even want me, and then also tried to fire me before I got started?
I never trusted my boss for like the 2 year and a half I was under her. Never trusted her, because the way the HR person talked about it, she said like, well, the hiring manager decided And so I always traced it back to her and said, well, she just didn't want me. And I performed great. I had like great performance reviews. So in my head, I was like, maybe she's like, oh yeah, I'm really glad we made this decision. But I was like, you'll just get rid of me at the drop of the hat. You already tried to. So no, I never trusted her. And it was just the worst. So that put me in a very stressful position. And I was triggered. Like, I would lash out at anyone if something went wrong or give me a sideways glance, because in the back of my head, I wasn't resolved through that weekend, obviously. I had to wait for people to get back in the office. I was just like, I'm unemployed. I have to start job search, and I got nothing. I got no income, and I'm screwed. And yeah, so that adds stress.
You can't even get unemployment because you quit your other job and then like didn't start a new one. So yeah, very stressful. Exactly. The most stressful part for me for quitting your job, and the thing I hate the most, is like putting your 2 weeks in. Obviously I've quit lots of jobs. The longest I've ever worked at a job is 5 years. So I've quit quite a few jobs over my time. But I'm always really worried that people are going to be mad at me and be like really rude about me putting my 2 weeks in.
Sure, yeah.
And like respond poorly, because they obviously don't want you to put your 2 weeks in. Nobody wants anybody to quit. And so I'm not really that bad of a procrastinator, but my God, did I sit on putting my 2 weeks in.
Until like you absolutely were like, oh, no, I got to do it now before my start date.
Yeah. And I like accepted the offer and like signed the paperwork and then was like, oh God, it's the end of the day. Like I really have to tell them that I literally just signed on to a new job. I'm out of luck. So, but yeah, I hate that. I don't like people being mad at me.
And no, it's not a good feeling. Like, yeah, it's awful.
Yeah, and I don't like calling people in general. Like, if I could have just like texted my 2 weeks, that would have been great. How bad would
Hey, BTW, took new job, # see you later.
My boss quit too, and then she had left and they didn't give me a new boss. So like I had an added level of anxiety because I didn't know who I was supposed to like call to quit. Yeah. So
oh yeah, great. That's weird.
Yeah. They didn't even bother to give me a new boss, so I think they just were ready for me to also leave, which is fine.
Well, it all works out in the end, right?
All worked out this time, but actually sometimes it doesn't work out. And there's been instances where people have been killed over quitting their job. Well, or actually the murder I have was over not quitting their job.
Well, I certainly hope none of our patrons get murdered over losing their job, especially Jimmy Fuquay at the Jimmy Fuquay on Instagram. Of course, you can find us at deathtohispartpodcast.com, at DeedupCast on Instagram and everywhere else, and email us at deedup.podcast@gmail.com. So,
and
tell me about...
We're Death Do Us Part the Podcast on Redbubble.
Death Do Us Part the Podcast. Right.
Yeah.
Okay. Oh, there you go. So, hit me with your socks. Best job murder.
Yeah, so this one is actually kind of the opposite. This is a man killed his wife for not quitting her job.
Mm-hmm.
In Pakistan, a female journalist, her name was Rouge, was actually killed by her husband after he demanded that she quit her job. She was a reporter for a local newspaper, and her family actually alerted the police that her husband was harassing her and trying to get her to quit her job. But no police action was taken. And then on the next Monday, she was murdered by her husband. And it's like extra sad because she was killed on the International Day for the Elimination of Violence Against Women.
Wow, that's a heavy moment.
Yeah, so he didn't think that she needed to have a job. He felt like it made their family look bad that she like had to work, but she was a journalist and she just enjoyed it and she wanted to have a job and she wanted to have, you know, like autonomy and stuff like that. And so he quote unquote did it for his honor because he didn't want people to think that she had to have a job and like he couldn't provide for his family.
Yeah, it's a, kind of a cultural, what's the word I'm looking for?
Difference.
Inadequacy. It's almost like culturally he's made to feel less than because his wife works. Whereas here, it's like, oh, okay. That's just like a choice. It's like a normal choice.
Yeah, like it, I think it used to be like maybe more in like the 50s and stuff. Here, sure, where like you'd have your stay-at-home wife who like would cook and clean and like wear a dress and make microwave meals or whatever.
And now husbands can cook and clean and wear dresses too, and it's perfectly acceptable, at least in my circle of friends.
Yeah, as it should be. Anyone can be the stay-at-home. You can be a trophy wife or a trophy husband, or you both can work and you can just get it, like, you know. But anyways, it's not like that everywhere. And no, in this instance, I can't even imagine, because I've tried the whole staying home, like with your children and stuff, whom I love so much, but like, my God, did I want to go back to work? And I think that my husband could totally be like a stay-at-home dad. And he, like, I was getting to the end of my maternity leave and I was like, I don't want to do this anymore. He was getting to the end of his like paternal leave and he was like, don't make me go back. And I was like, aren't you tired of this? And he's like, no, I want to play with little people in bubbles forever. And I was like, I don't, we're not the same person.
Well, I mean, you got a new job. Maybe he can be the stay-at-home dad.
It's the goal. Not really. Kind of.
Him and
it's
Kelly can goal. Can be the
He just wants to be caretakers. A fifth grade teacher, so then he can stay home all summer.
Well, there you go.
And then he'll get it during the school year when they're in school.
When you're talking about a teacher and getting it, I don't think you should use those same words in the same sentence.
I meant getting that paper.
Well, I know what you meant.
And by that, I meant construction paper, because we all know teachers don't get paid enough.
Get that paper. Go to Michael's. Going down
Hopefully
the
have
aisles.
A coupon.
Buying lots of glue sticks.
For your students to eat.
That is the life of a teacher. Buying supplies that you know your students will literally eat at some point. At least
or
one
like,
of them will.
I can't imagine when you're a teacher and you're spending your own paycheck to buy like glue for your classroom or whatever, and then like your students are just sitting there like putting it on their hands so it dries and they can peel it off, and you're like, I'm
you
sorry,
did that.
Do you know
you
much?
So did that.
I totally did that. But like, do you know how much glue costs? Like, why are you just putting it on your hands? At least stick two pieces of paper together.
Now they have lists, like a donation list, so you know exactly what the teachers need. And we always try to get like one of everything on the list, because it sucks that they have to go spend their own money because they just can't get supplies. Such horseshit.
Yep. Yep. I agree.
Well, now I'm real triggered. So I'll talk about my murder, which is with Sharon Edwards and her husband, David Edwards. They lived in the UK, but they actually got married in Las Vegas, which I thought was interesting. Back in June of 2015. Now, it was well known that Sharon was very happy to be marrying a solicitor, which is a kind of a lawyer in the UK, which sounds super fancy because here, solicitors are the people who come to your door selling shit and they always knock at dinner time. Those are our solicitors.
Like Cutco knives people.
Okay, I have a Cutco knife now, which I got from our realtor. It's legit. I mean, it's the sharpest knife that I own. Like,
really?
Like scary sharp. Like if you make a mistake, like, you're going to lose a finger, not just cut yourself.
It doesn't make the Cutco knife people not solicitors.
No, it does not. But like I always thought it was horse shit. And when she gave us one of her realtor branded knives, I was like, okay, I'll give it a try. And it cuts. Have you ever seen Forged with Fire? Probably not.
No.
Okay, I'm going to just walk out the door now. Never mind. It will cut. That's all I will say. Anyway, so 2 months after they got married, David was found dead in their home, and Sharon was accused of his murder. Now, while she denied killing her husband, the prosecution had evidence and testimony that Sharon was domineering and very jealous. She had beaten her husband through their relationship, and they even had recordings of David saying things like she could knock him out with one punch. So that's a Jeez. That's a bruiser of a lady. Now, the couple had vacationed in Spain in August, so they got married in June, and they must have come back on another vacation. And when they returned, their daughter, who was 19 at the time, and she was a witness actually for the prosecution against her mother.
Oh, snap.
She remembered her dad calling for help, and he had blood all over him in their room. The mom, Sharon, was holding a knife up to him, and she said she didn't intend to hurt him. Which I don't know if that makes it like totally better that she's holding a knife and like, I wasn't actually going to stab him.
No.
But he ended up getting stabbed somehow. David wouldn't say at the time what happened. So their poor daughter just walks in. He's yelling for help and she's like, "What the fuck's going on?" He's like, "Don't worry. It's fine. We're good now." After he apparently got stabbed, the couple went to a pub despite him being injured and having bled all over his clothes.
What?
They just went out to a pub. He literally had blood on his clothes.
They shouldn't let him in the pub. Like, he should go up and be like, "I'm going to get a drink." And they should be like, "You sure should not have a drink."
Well, in addition to the blood on his clothes, he had a cut on his head with blood coming down, dripping down from his head down his neck. And people at the pub were very worried about his wounds and his appearance. But his wife was just totally unconcerned. Now, David, he's fine. I imagine someone saying like, "All that blood, that little, what's going on here?" And Sharon just being like, "Oh, that blood, that little cut? He's fucking fine, Karen. Just mind your own business." That's what I imagine Sharon being like. That, in my head, that's who she is.
"He's fine. It's fine. Rub some dirt on it."
But talk about abusive, right? Like, you're walking in and he's bleeding actively. And she's like, no, he's okay. Right, David? You're okay, right? Yeah, no, I'm good. I just need some beer to dull the pain.
Right? That's insane.
After the pub, they were seen arguing in the streets, and Sharon was laying accusations on David, something of which people weren't quite sure what they were arguing over, but the police ended up taking them home, which I'm like, dude, why did the police take him home? He has blood on his shirt, and he's bleeding from his head. Take him to a hospital.
Right? Or just, like, into a different home, a safe home, like, somewhere else.
Yeah, yeah.
He's so, clearly not safe.
The next morning, David was found dead in his bed, and the carpet in the kitchen were just covered in blood.
Oh, my God.
Now, before they went on vacation to Spain, came back, had this argument, went to a pub. Before that vacation, David was notified he was going to be fired from work. And remember, Sharon was very happy that she was marrying a solicitor. So the fact that she was so happy and that she became more abusive after him being notified she was leaving, the prosecution believes that was like the triggering event. She was already abusive. Then she became more abusive.
And then she was just like, she was like, "I don't even like you, and now you're not even a solicitor."
Yep. And then she's yelling accusations in the streets, you know, possibly about his job. But it seemed like that was the triggering event from her being abusive to being deadly and abusive. That was like the straw that broke the camel's back of her, I don't know, greed, I guess you could say.
She could have also, though, just divorced him and found a new solicitor.
Yeah, there's tons of solicitors out there. You don't have to kill one to get to the next one. Hey, you know what's funny, though? She killed a solicitor, and then she met a bunch of new solicitors who were prosecuting her.
And then she went to jail, and she got no solicitors.
No, she did. Just the wrong kind of solicitor in jail. So Sharon, however, said that, "I didn't know he had walked into the knife until I saw the blood." And in her words, he begged her, is what she says, not to call an ambulance. According to her, the wound stopped bleeding and they went upstairs to have sex. Hot, right? Like, he's bleeding from his stomach.
And then she's like,
"No, it stopped bleeding. We're going to go have sex."
"I don't think it stopped bleeding. I think it stopped bleeding. I think you're good to go."
I think not. But apparently in that transition of, "Oh, you're not dying? Cool, let's go have sex," she ended up, in her words, falling asleep on the sofa. And he later bled out upstairs. So good luck with that defense, Sharon. you should have had a better solicitor, like your husband, bitch.
Oh my gosh.
On the side of the prosecution, they
Although we were going to have sex, but then I just totally fell asleep on the couch.
Yeah, I was just too tired from stabbing him.
He just walked into the knife, so.
Oh, man. Now, on the side of the prosecution, they had phone recordings of David saying they need a new story for his black eye. He's talking to his wife, and I don't know why it was recorded, but they had recordings saying they need a new story for his black eye because the garage door one doesn't work. People aren't buying it, Sharon.
Maybe that's what it was. Like, hi, Sharon, honey, just calling you from work. It's lunchtime. Just wanted to get your thoughts on a new story for my black eye.
Oh, man. It's so bad, really. It's also, they had recordings of when he talked about how hard she punched. And there was a coworker as well of David's that David confided in, saying that he was his life was hell. And his friend told him to leave, but David said, I can't. If I do, she will kill me.
Jeez.
And the prosecution noted David would never fight back. And in 2 days' time, she had used a knife to cut him and threaten him twice before she literally stabbed him in the heart.
He should have, changed his name and moved to Guatemala or something.
Yeah, if he was that concerned.
Now, that's unreasonable. She could have also just divorced him and, been alone, which is what she deserved.
Yeah, and I think it's more about, not even that he was a solicitor and lost his job, but she was already an abusive person. And now, the gain that she was getting from him is gone. And right. If he did want to leave, it's like, I'm not going to let you leave. Because then you're taking the power back. She was found guilty, and she was sentenced to life in jail with a minimum of 20 years. The judge, or justice, as they're called in the UK, said she had a bullying and violent nature which had robbed people of a decent man. This deadly attack was the culmination of long-term bullying by you on this respected member of the community. So, bullying is no good. I hate it. I can't stand when people bully or tease or make fun of people. But yeah, Sharon couldn't handle that her husband lost his job and led to making him walk into her knife. Her words, not mine.
I wonder if, she was part of the reason that he lost his job.
You know, that's a really good point, because he probably wasn't performing fullest.
Right, he had so much stress at home, and he was always hurt and stuff, that he couldn't, do his job to the best of his ability, and it was probably her fault.
He was too busy making up stories to cover for her to have good prosecution or defense in his legal career.
So, in lieu of murdering, I didn't want to, hypothetically murder my co-workers or my future co-workers that I don't know.
Probably a good idea. That's probably a real good idea not to do that.
So I actually found this article that was about signs that your job is actually killing you.
Ooh, that's interesting.
So there's actually truth that your job can suck the life out of you. Office life can be deadly. Sitting for hours, being exposed to fluorescent lighting, eating lots of lunches out, and dealing with regular stress can take a major toll on your health. So here's signs that your job is actually killing you. The first one is that you can't sleep at night. Apparently, one of the primary causes of insomnia is stress.
Mm-hmm.
Yep. Just the espresso. Is stress, and not just any stress. Workplace stress is often the worst offender. You have no control. One of the most stressful parts of a job can be a lack of control, which can lead to anger and hostility, which is strongly associated with heart disease.
Hmm. Yep.
You're frequently sick or you have headaches all the time. Computer screens can cause headaches and the symptom that's called computer vision syndrome. So prolonged computer screen exposure can also lead to nearsightedness and glaucoma.
Yeah, I used to have a screen like filter on one of my old screens. And they make special glasses with the
the blue light like, glasses.
Yeah. So that helps you, because staring at that screen all day is not good. And when I have a really busy day, where I'm not necessarily having a lot of phone calls, which actually helps because I'll get up and walk around. But if I'm doing something and just staring at that screen, by the end of the day, it's like the worst headache. It's just not. It's not good.
Yep. Yeah, I definitely, if I have like a very long, stressful day, I notice that like I'll have a headache more. It's those damn computers. And then the last one is on the list is like you're bored to death, which is apparently true. You can really be bored to death. Apparently, high levels of tedium are associated with an increased risk of death from heart disease or stroke. So if you're bored at your job, it may actually be taking years off your life.
All right. That reminds me of a video game. I'm not going to bore you with the whole story of the video game, but there's one.
Because you might make me die.
Might make you die. But there was this one scene where this guy is chopping off fish heads, like in a fish factory, processing factory. And he starts daydreaming while he's chopping off fish heads. And the whole time he's daydreaming, I'm waiting for him to cut off his hand. It's like really stressful because you start to lose control.
That sounds like, so stressful.
And it's supposed to simulate the monotony. And in the end, the character kills himself. I don't think he does with the fish cutting head machine. I can't remember. But like, there's two things happening in this video game. Like, you're controlling him cutting fish heads while you're controlling his daydream, which is like an adventure through some Arabian thing with princes and kings, and it's wonderful. And it's like, that's what he's thinking of, and that's where he wishes he was while he's chopping off fish heads. And you start to lose control with, like, the left hand while you're trying to control the right. It's trippy. It's trippy, and it's too real. It's like when you have a bad job, and you're like, oh, man.
I was
going
to say, that sounds so stressful to me. Already. I'm not even playing it and I'm already pre-stressed out.
Yeah. Yeah. So that's depressing.
You're so get
hobbies. Hobbies. Hobbies save you from those tedious moments of work. Got to have hobbies.
And I think
things
like,
to look forward to.
If you have moments of work that are tedious, like I've worked on projects that I found to be incredibly boring, and one of the reasons that I most recently quit my job is because I was working on really repetitive projects that were too easy, mm-hmm. and it was very, very boring. And so I think that if you have other parts of your job or other aspects that are like exciting or interesting and like are, you know, keeping you like learning and stuff, then, you know, you can get by on the tedious parts as if your whole entire job is just like repetitive and tedious. And
right.
every day you want to like slowly smush your face into a wall.
Just slowly until it pops.
Yep. Like a grape.
Like a grape. Well, my hypothetical murder is a spousal murder. Like if the stress was just too much, you couldn't handle it, a job change. It's designed around a job change that has like an extensive training program that takes you away from the home, which is your alibi. And in true Sharon fashion, my wife is going to stab herself, just like she claimed David did. But I won't be home to blame. So that's the difference. So we have an attic pull-down ladder. Mm-hmm. And I'm going to suspend a few knives in the door such that when it opens, they plummet down to the victim below. Now, the kids can't reach this, so only my wife can. And while gone, I'm going to call my wife and say, I need you to get a file in the attic that has my old company's salary because they need to justify my raise or whatever, you know, whatever excuse. Mm-hmm. I need you to go up in the attic and get some old files that are in a box. Like, it's right there. It's really easy to get. And when she pulls down the door, the knives will free fall into her and death will quickly follow. And then I'm going to have the door with a hydraulic lift, because there's hydraulics there,
to just close on a smart
switch,
up.
Like a, you know, a smart switch that you can control through Alexa app or whatever. So I can open and close the door as I like. So the door will close. So it won't be suspicious like, oh, there's an attic door open and she's got knives in her chest. No, the door will be closed and she'll just be in the hallway and she'll be covered in blood with knives in her chest and I'll be in another state. So it just looked like she stabbed herself 3 times or in the chest.
Knives rain down from the ceiling for no reason.
Yeah.
You could blame it on a poltergeist and write a book and then get a movie deal and then travel around telling people your story.
Yeah. No, that's a good one too. Like, even if knives fell from an attic, it's still like, what the hell? How did that even happen?
Right? Why were there even knives up in the attic? Like, what is going on?
Like, if you had a security system and, like, somebody pulled that down, all of a sudden knives just went, shh-doo-doo-doo. You'd be like, there's a ghost in that house. For sure, 100%. There's no other way.
That was, like, the first thing I would think of if a person was just in the hallway, like, knives had fallen into them. I'd be like, ghost, 100%. Mad ghost.
I like how you take it a step further there and you're like, write a book and get a movie deal and travel.
Well, that's exactly what they did for I think it's the one that they made a redo of it and it had Ryan Reynolds in it, the house with the windows and it looks like a face.
Oh, was Ryan Reynolds in one of the Amityville Horror ones?
Yes.
Yeah,
they
redid
Amityville Horror and for some reason Ryan Reynolds is in one of them. They've made that movie a bunch of times, but that's what those people did is they bought that house and then couldn't really actually afford to live there, which is why they left within like 2 weeks or whatever. But then they like said it was because it was haunted because this terrible murder had happened there.
Right.
And then they helped this guy write a book about it and they'd go to like, I don't know, seance things, wherever you talk about haunted houses.
Seance things. Accurate.
They went to like a seance haunted house tour. They probably were on like Oprah. This might be pre-Oprah. But then they had a bunch of people who were like, this is fake and you just made it up. And they were like, no, we didn't. And they slammed doors in their faces and all of that. It was very dramatic.
You weren't there, man. You don't know. You don't
right?
even know. I remember watching like the 80s version of Amityville Horror, which I think was even another remake. I don't know how many times they've remade that one. At my age... That's still one of the scariest movies I've ever seen. It like hit me right at the right age where it was freaky.
Yeah.
And I would not want to rewatch it. Like I still think about it and it still kind of chills my bones.
There's so many of them. It's ridiculous. So there's the Amityville Horror, which came out in 1979. Then there's the Amityville Horror 2, The Possession. The Amityville 3D, which I can only imagine you had to wear 3D glasses, and that was in 1983, so that's like the most 80s thing I can think of.
Not even, not as scary. Once you put it in 3D, it's just not even, it's just not scary anymore. It's jump scare.
Amityville 4, The Evil Escapes, 1989. The Amityville Curse in 1990. Amityville, It's About Time, 1992.
It's About Time.
Amityville, A New Generation, 1993.
Jeez.
Amityville Dollhouse, 1996. The Amityville Horror, 2005. Amityville Haunting, 2011. Amityville Asylum, 2013. Amityville Death House. I've said it so many times, Amityville's sounding weird.
Yeah, it doesn't sound right.
Then they have... Amityville Playhouse 2015, Amityville No Escape 2016, Amityville Exorcism 2017, Amityville
what?
The Awakening in 2017.
I didn't know there were that many. I had no idea. I thought there were like 3 or 4. That's crazy.
No.
No thanks. Another scary movie I won't watch is the Nightmare on Elm Street series.
Ryan Reynolds was in the Amityville Horror of 2005.
Which I think is like a proper remake. Like just about the house, not like asylums or possessions or something.
The first picture they show when I Googled that was like, what Amityville Horror movie is Ryan Reynolds in? He's wearing like pajama bottoms and no shirt and he's like sweaty and he's chopping a piece of wood with a hatchet.
That's part of like the original. It's like a foreshadowing where the father's out there chopping wood with the hatchet. And then later, I think he uses that hatchet against the family.
Got it.
So it's like a classic scene. I don't remember,
but apparently Ryan Reynolds did not wear a shirt the entire movie. What I'm getting out of this.
Why would he? I mean, come on. I'll take me some Ryan Reynolds.
It's on TV Sunday, 7:25 at 11:35 a.m. if you're interested.
What? Yeah, like I'm going to watch that with my kids. My kids are like, oh my God.
Yeah, I know. That would ruin.
Daddy, why is that man with no shirt killing his whole family? Ghosts. Just ghosts. That's the reason.
Fake ghosts. Anyways, yeah, so now you know everything there is to know about the Amityville Horror movies.
Now I don't have to watch them. That's great. I don't have to go back and watch them because I know everything.
Why is there two Dollhouse ones?
I don't know. Maybe the first one's good. Maybe that's why they made a second.
Yeah, they were like, you know what? We need to bring back the whole Dollhouse concept of this.
Oh, man.
That's it. That's all I've got.
That's it. Well, yeah, maybe I'll be next to quit my job since it's the great resignation.
Yeah, you got to hop aboard the train. And then next week we can... No, what were we going to do? We talked about an idea.
Oh, our idea for next week? I don't know. I have it in my notes. I can check after the call.
All right. We talked about one before, and I don't think we've done it yet. I was going to say, soon we'll start about the horrors. We'll talk about our pet peeves with starting a new job, but we'll see.
Oh, that's true.
I do have some time off, so I'm going to enjoy my joblessness for a little while.
I don't know. Remember I sent you the one? I found the headline, "Woman Kills Husband After Drinking Too Many Drinks and Sitting on His Face."
Yes.
That's the theme for next week, folks. Now, I think we're going to do a hangry episode.
Yes. Yeah, because I'm hungry. And when I'm hungry, I'm like a whole entire different human being.
So sneak peek for next week, hanger kills.
Yes. But other than that, while marriage is messy,
murder is messier.